know this has really been promoted for you guys as a purity conference. And that's a real legitimate title. But it's not about purity. Because you're not about purity. You are a man. And your life is called to many things. And the issue of purity just deals with one of those things that can be what stands between you and who you really are and what you're really made for. It's also a conference about the church and about men in the church and about what the church is to be in the world and about the spiritual battle that purity is all caught up in preventing the church from being all that it is meant to be. And so we look at the issue of purity not as an end in itself. If your life becomes a life that is completely free of whatever habits you may wish would change, you know what? You still will not have the life you want. Because what you were made for is not just to be free of certain habits. You were made for something else. You were made to express something. And the only issue with purity, pornography, issues like that, is that it stands between you and what you were made to be. And that's how we're going to address it. And what I want for every man and what I want for the church is for us to reach the end of the road that God has created for us, for the world to see men and women in the church expressing what God created men and women to be. And that picture is so beautiful and so amazing and so magnificent that if the world can see it, it will turn their head, I think, like almost nothing else that we can bring. And so that is our mission, men. If you are here as part of this church or any church, and if you're not, I want you to have the chance to hear what I am utterly, completely convinced God wants to give you. And you're going to get to hear that. And you're going to be invited into that. But my target, what you are supposed to hear from somebody, and I'm one of the mouths this morning, is what you are to be as a man living underneath the reality of your Father in His purposes for you. That's what you need to hear. And that's what we're going to address. So I'm going to go through three segments. At the end of it, we're going to sort of take a hard right turn right into the subject, specifically of purity, and we're going to break for lunch, and then Josh is going to pick it up after that. We're going to do a lot more specific stuff, and we're going to have some interaction throughout the whole thing. We're going to end all this with real practical steps, and that's our goal. So let me pray, and we'll walk through our first section here. Lord God, I thank you that you're here, and I thank you that all that we're after is your idea. Everything we're going to talk about, everything that we want in our hearts, everything you've made for us, all of it is your idea. And no one is more excited about it, and no one is more excited about giving it to us than you are. And I just pray, God, that you would get your victory, that you would win. Lord, I want you to win more in my life. I want you to win in every life here. God, set us free to follow you. And I ask you, God, with all my heart, give yourself what you made us for. I pray. And I thank you for this time. I thank you for these men. Lord, sit in this room with us and fill it with your Spirit. Invite us, unite us, draw us, disciple us. God, we are here to be your men. And I ask for your help and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, you know, one of the things that has engaged me in this issue increasingly so. There'd be a variety of things. But one is, my job is I get to travel around and see churches. And I'm coming up on 60 years old. I became a Christian in college, been in a lot of good churches, been in a lot of good stuff. But I have watched a change happen over time. And among a number of changes, probably the change that is the most concerning to me is that when I look at the church, I do not see the strength in the church that I used to see. We live in a world where, typically in America, the church is not strong. And I can even look at our own circle of churches, the Great Commission churches, and I can appreciate so many things I see and so many positive things. But at the same time, I can look at it and I can go, you know what? There is not a strength and clarity there that there used to be. And one of the areas I particularly see that in is I see that with men. Men are not as they used to be in many situations, in many scenarios, in many measurements. Men are not strong in ways that were more typical in the past, and that is especially true for young men. Young men are not, we used to, when I was young, we would talk about it. In the church, there was a standard for what it meant to follow God and to live for God. And we talked about steely-eyed missile men. Men were sharp and clear and knew where they were going and knew what they were standing for and knew what they were doing. And there were a lot of men like that. And I look around the church now and I go, where are the steely-eyed missile men? Where are the men that are clear and strong and know what they want and where they're going? And there are some, and I trust there's some in this room, but I don't see it like I used to. And as I look at that, there are many, many factors. But one of the factors, and I believe the biggest factor, is the thing that we're going to address today. But what I want to do is I want to go back and I want to reset your expectations for your life. And I want to give you a clear picture of where God wants you to set your sights. I don't know how you think about yourself. I don't know how you think about what God wants for you. I don't know what you think about what it means to be a Christian man. And we're going to be real clear about all that this morning. Let me see if this guy can figure out the clicker. Okay. But when we look at the Bible, there's something unique the Bible says about men. And in 1 John, it says this, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one. So what is it in God's mind that characterizes young men? Young men are strong. That is God's plan. He looks out at you, and he goes, listen, I write to you, young men. You know why I'm writing to you? I'm writing to you because you're strong. Is that how you think about yourself? In Proverbs, it says, the glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair is the splendor of the old. I have my splendor. But do you know what? I still want to be a strong man. Every man wants to be strong. It is part of who you are. And young men, your glory is your strength. Do you know that? Has anybody told you that lately? Probably not. There is nothing in our culture calling you to be strong men. Every picture you see, every cultural representation does not present you as a strong role. But God is different. He writes to you, young men, because you are strong. The church needs strong men. Strong men are trouble. Strong men change things. Strong men stand for things. The church needs strong men. And young men, this is your glory. Now you have to understand what God means by strength. It is not what you see on TV. Do you know who said that? David said that to Solomon. David is about to die. Solomon is about to take over the kingdom. And David says to his son Solomon, be strong and show yourself a man. Has anybody ever, ever, ever said that to you? Do you know what? God says that to you. God says to you, men, be strong and show yourself a man. It is your birthright. It is what you're here for. And that word to David, or from David to his son, you and I can take to heart. 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. What does it mean to act like a man? Do you know that phrase in the Greek actually uses the word they would use in the theater? And one translation, I think it's a Berkeley translation, it says, play the man. Play the man. I love that phrase. Play the man. Why? Because we're acting? Because we're pretending? No. Because there is a role, there is an identity. And Paul is saying, listen, there's this identity as a man, and you need to step into that identity. Play the man. Play the man. Don't step into that other identity. Don't walk in that other stuff. Play the man. That's what you are. Step in the identity of what you are and live it out. Play the man. That's what God wants. One of my favorite pictures of manhood is a very simple thing. Somebody's not totally impressive on the outside. It just says, this is a quote by a person in the Bible. And she said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Now, who knows where that verse comes from? Who knows who said that? Who said that? What? From Ruth. And who said it? And Naomi said it to Ruth about Boaz. Yeah, Boaz, he's one of my amazing heroes. And if I could be like anybody, I long to be like Boaz. And what was the deal with Boaz? Well, there was a lot of good qualities in his life, but right here, represented right here, there's a really challenging situation. An awful lot hangs on this, and Naomi has just found out that Boaz has taken responsibility for it. Boaz has said he'll take care of it. And so Naomi, who's in this really vulnerable situation, a lot of risk for both Naomi and Boaz, Naomi and Ruth, she just says to Ruth, Ruth, go get a latte. We're good. Boaz has got this, and he will not rest until the matter is settled today. And I thought, that would be what people would say of me. Oh, John's got it. Don't worry about it. John's got it. Oh, just go relax. Go sit down. Go do whatever. He's got it. He will not let it go. He will not let it go. He will not let it go until it's done. Can that be said of you? Do people look at you and go, oh, no, he's got it. Don't worry, he's got it. He won't let it go. He will not drop this ball. He will get it done. You can just relax. He's on it. That is what's said of men. Does your heart go, oh, I want to be that. I want to be that. My heart goes, I want to be that. Well, then we're going to get a little bit broader here. Paul wrote in Timothy to his disciple, he said, if I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Okay, so the church is what holds the truth in the world. The church is what's grounded in reality. The church is what connects eternity with us in between. And I'm telling you what reality is. Here's absolute truth. You believe in absolute truth? Here's absolute truth. Absolute truth is whatever you are going to have to live with forever and will never be able to get away from. That is absolute truth for you. And I'm going to tell you what that absolute truth is. You are going to stand in front of Jesus Christ. That is the truth you will never, ever, ever get away from. And therefore, it is absolute truth for you. The church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. What is a pillar and a foundation? There are things that are really strong in a building. The pillar's got to be strong. The foundation's got to be strong. The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. But you know what the strength of the church is? The strength of the church is the convictions of the men. It's the convictions of you. The convictions of men is the strength of the church. It is the depth of what you hold and believe. The convictions of the men is the strength of the church. Do you see yourself that way? Are there things in you that are strong? Strong men is our first subject. It is the first thing I want you to see in your mind. And I'm telling you what, if I could do anything, what I would want to do is I would want to change your heart and mind where you go, all I want to do is I want to be the strong man that God has made me to be. And every one of us feel intimidated by that. Every one of us feels like we fall short. Every one of us feels like a failure. It is part of the battle. All of us feel inadequate. But I want you to understand, I don't care how inadequate you feel, this is what you were made for. This is what you were made for. This is your birthright. And this is what God wants for you. And this is what he made you to be. And so I just want to ask you guys a couple questions. Do a little brainstorming here. What do you think it means to be strong in God's definition? That's not necessarily a right or wrong answer here. I just want to fish around and share a few thoughts and get a few ideas out. What do you think it means to be strong? There's things we could watch in the movies it doesn't mean. Yeah. Unwavering. That's a pretty good word. Yeah, unwavering. I like that. Unwavering. Man doesn't move. Yeah. Trustworthy. Okay. That is a great dimension of man, strong manhood. That your word is your bond. You can be trusted. Wow, is that a challenge or what? Yeah. Humble. Yeah. Man, I appreciate that one. Real men are not proud. Boys are proud. Boys are proud. Real men are humble. Yeah. Intentional. Proactive. You know what you're after. You take steps. That's awesome. What else? Yeah. Yielding. Okay, and that can relate to humility. If you're wrong, you back up. Only a fool stands when he knows he's wrong. You back up. You're humble. You yield. You yield to the truth. You yield to what's right. Integrity. Okay. Protective. That's an awesome one. We're going to pick that word up more later. Yeah. Committed. You make commitments. You make commitments. Courageous. Absolutely. Yeah. Unselfish. You don't live for yourself. Boys live for themselves. Spiritual. You understand the realities of the world. Amen. And your place in them. Yeah. Willing to stand for the truth. And boy, there are times where that is scary, isn't it? And that's where you need the courage. Yeah, stand for the truth and not yield to the wrong things. Other things? Words come to mind? Yeah. What's that? Prudent. Yeah, you're wise in what you do. You're careful. You're not foolish. You're not rash. Yeah. Paul. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely, Paul. And we have got to rearrange our heads on that one, man. Jesus was loving. He was the most manly man that has ever lived. And to be loving is to be all these things, like Paul shared. It's every one of these qualities. And when you are loving, you are taking your whole life and you are bringing it for the good of another. Your manhood is expressed in expressing love sacrificially in the world. Yeah. Was there one other? Yeah, amen. Boy, I sure appreciate that thought. I appreciate that thought. God is really, really smart. And he is honored when we track with that and we reveal that and we recognize he's made this world in ways that we can understand, we can know, we can put things together. We are not stupid. As a matter of fact, I could give a whole different set of lectures. Christians think. And the whole history of Christianity demonstrates that. The whole history of Christianity demonstrates that fact. Okay, let's roll on here. What's at stake around us if we're not strong? What's hanging on you guys? What's hanging on you guys? What's going to change if you're not strong? What's going to change if you are? Everything. That's a right answer. Guess we're done with that one. Okay, let's go on. Collapse of society. All right. Listen, I've seen a lot of wild things. Go ahead, yeah. Our families. Our church. Eternal lives. Amen. I've seen a lot of life roll by, man. I don't know you guys at all. But I'm telling you what, there's some of you, if you are not strong, you will not be married in 20 years, maybe 10 years. It will rip your family apart. It'll rip your marriage apart. It'll rip your church apart. It'll rip you out of your church. You must be set to be strong. A lot hangs on your strength. God hangs things on the strength of men. God asks a lot of you. He asks a lot of you. This is a crazy world with a lot of sin, a lot of brokenness, a lot of evil, a lot of bad, and he will hang a lot on your strength. And if it's not there, a lot will fall. And you sense that, don't you? And it's hard to be strong. But God can make all of us stronger men. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Christ is strong. And when we're not strong, yeah, that the stereotypical picture of weak men, weak Christian men, that is a lie of the devil. There is no follower of Christ, man or woman, that is not strong if you're following Christ. And when people see weakness, it doesn't represent Christ correctly. Okay, so what keeps Christian men from being strong today? So what are our battles? What are we struggling with? Think about your life. What is it that gets in the way? What's your obstacle? I did this with a group in Colorado. We filled an entire whiteboard, just thing after thing. I think we spent about 20 minutes on this, which we won't hear, but there's so many things. Yeah. Okay, all right. Some of us are old enough to remember the first time somebody yelled at us for opening a door for a woman. Taught that's what you're supposed to do. Of course, a lot of you young guys, you wouldn't dare open a door for a woman. You know that that's not the right thing, and that's all just a whole, just a, just, I just don't even get me started. Yeah. Yeah. Not reading. Okay. Yeah. Not reading our Bible. Guys, you have got to hear from your father. You've got to hear from your father. Yeah. Okay. Yep. And I don't know. I think there have been times where there have been better role models, but I think typically Christian men have always been in short supply. I would say in the church, you should be able to look to your church leaders and you should go, I respect that person, not just as a believer. I respect him as a Christian man. I respect him as an expression of Christian male responsibility, that they are all the things we talked about. And hopefully you guys can look around and go, you know what? I don't see perfect men, but I do see men. I do see men. I do see men. And if you're not in an environment where you can look around and go, you know, I do see men, then I think you should think about being in a different place. But if you're around here, I think you see men. Okay. What else? Shame. Oh, man. Oh. Oh. That whole thing of a wounded conscience, we all know that, right? And this whole area of sexual purity, nothing makes you gut shot in your conscience like being out of where God wants you to be in the area of your sexuality, man. It is the road right to your soul, and God made it so. And we experience shame because we know we've been places we should not be, but we were there. And we're going to get into this more, but I want to tell you, you know, we all got habits in our life that we need to have different. The world utterly, totally covers up and lies about it. There are no adult bookstores. There are no adult bookstores. There are little boy bookstores. And every man that goes in one knows it in his soul. You were made to conquer that God-created part of your life. And when you do not conquer it and lead it, and when it leads you, the result is shame. And all of us know what that feels like. What else? Yeah. Yeah. Just incredible about all that in all kinds of ways. Bad stuff coming in, just noise coming in, distractions coming in from 1,000 different places. Pride, that's a huge one because it says God opposes the proud, so then you've really got trouble. What's that? Weak prayer life. Yeah, man. Yeah, we're going to get more there too. Yeah. Health and family problems. Yeah, so we doubt God's goodness. Yeah, so some things separate us from God. Circumstances separate us from God. Yeah. Lack of fellowship with other men. That's really good. We're going to go to that one more too. Lack of purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Laziness. Yeah. And we could go on and on. I would also say this, just, you know, we need to be called to this. Nobody calls us to manhood. Nobody calls us to this role. And that's part of this. And I'm telling you what, unless you see where you're going, you're never going to get out of the places you should not be. You will not win, as we all know, right? If you have any trouble with sexual purity, you know you don't get over it by just going, I want to try to change. You have got to see what you're called to. You live your life for a purpose, and you can change. Not that any of this is easy. By the way, when we get done with this, the answer is not going to be, and here's the easy answer at the end. There are not easy answers for men. There's a call to strength for men, and there's a way that men can support one another. And there's a vision for what we're made for. And that's what we have. Here's a question each one of us have to ask in our own heart. Do you believe God wants you to be a strong man? And I just want to pause here. I want each one of you to put that question in your own heart. Do you, so, you know, like you haven't ever heard very much about being called to strength. Not very many times in your entire lifetime, and for maybe some people almost never, has that idea rolled into your world, into your mind, into your heart, that you are being called to be strong. I'm telling you that right now. Do you believe it? Do you believe God wants you? Can you own that? You go, no, that's not me. I mean, that's some of these guys in here, but not me. God's not calling me to that. I want to look you right in the face. And I want to tell you, God created you to be a strong man. That's why you are here. If he did not want you to be a strong man, he would not have made you a man. And he has a course of life where your strength is going to be needed. Now, you may feel like an utter failure at this. You may feel like you're totally a loser at this. That's fine. It's okay, because so many of us are there. I'm just telling you what the end point answer is, and this is it. And here's the next hard question. Oops. Do you want to be a strong man? Do you want to be a strong man? Those are the men I want to hang with. I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you're at. You're probably pretty beat up. You should be. The world we're living in, you should be all pretty beat up. I just want to know what you want. Do you want to be a strong man? You know what David's mighty men? If you remember this in the Bible, who gathered around him? A bunch of losers. A bunch of losers gathered around him. All the guys that were the total misfits in the whole kingdom. And by the end of the story, they're called David's mighty men. Because they got with a man, they had a vision for what God wanted, and they tracked with him. Do you want to be a strong man? And I go in my life, I want it. I want to die a strong man. I want to die a strong man. I know people who are going to die strong men. I know some. I'm kind of tracking after them. I know some men. So, before we close, here's where we're, for this session, this is where we're going to go. Proverbs 31 says, don't give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. I don't know whether you intuitively understand this verse, but what's really interesting about this is that we're made to be strong. The Bible says all over that men are to be strong. But then there's other verses that kind of uniquely tie something together. And it says that you are able to give your strength to women. Something about the way God has made men, there is a way that your strength can be siphoned out and given to women, okay? Now, God made you as a man to potentially bring your strength to women and to bring your strength in a unique way to one woman. But bringing your strength to women is way different than giving your strength to women. And I think we understand that difference, right? That there is something that can happen in our soul that we give our strength to women and brothers, our entire culture is making a fortune on getting you and I to give our strength to women. And it's not just pornography. Every time you watch a movie, most of them are just voyeurism. We're watching these great big, huge 20-foot pictures of beautiful women. And all these chemicals are firing in our brain because that's the way God made it. And your strength is being given to women. Every advertising, often, there's this beautiful woman attached to some stupid product. Why? Because it fires the chemicals in your brain and you track with it. And it goes from one step to another step to another step. And we're way down a road giving our strength to women. And every time a woman walks by in that little short skirt and you just kind of track longer than you should, you're just kind of taking it in. And then when she's gone, you feel, I'm weaker. I should not have been there. Proverbs 5, now then, my sons, listen to me. Don't turn aside to what I say. Keep a path far from her. Don't go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength. If I was the devil, I said, okay, a strong man. I can't have strong men. I got to stop strong men. I have got to stop strong men. How am I going to stop strong men? Let me read the Bible. The devil has his quiet time every morning. Reads the Bible faithfully. reads these verses and goes, oh, this is how I do it. Oh, I can destroy their strength through their sexuality. Just get them tracking outside the bounds God created for them, and they will be weak. They will give their best strength to others. And your years to the one who is cruel, and he is very cruel. He will take a lot from you. He will take a lot from you. All at once, Proverbs 7. Gee, if you read the Bible at all and you've ever read this, you go, I get it. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. And what's the scenario here? There is this woman that's trying to entice this guy. And all of a sudden, he reaches the decision point and he goes over the edge and he goes, okay. And off he goes like an ox. And what's true about an ox? Is an ox strong? An ox strong? Actually, an ox is really strong. Really, really strong. And how much of that ox's strength is used for the benefit of the ox? None. All of his strength is stolen away and used for somebody else. And men, we know it, don't we? You're tempted, and then you yield and you give in. You're just like this stupid, dumb ox, and off you go. And you feel shame, and you feel weak. And your manhood has just been taken away from you. It's been stolen. So if we go back to the New Testament, we look at our instruction as believers, what the church is supposed to be. And Paul writes a number of things here, but there's something that's sort of instructive for us. He says in Galatians, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Well, how many acts of the sinful nature are there? There's a lot, right? And there's lots and lots and lots and lots. What's the very first one Paul lists? Sexual immorality. Well, I mean, that could be happenstance, but let's go to Colossians 3:5. Put to therefore whether it belongs to your earthly nature. Well, lots of things belong to our earthly nature. What's the very first thing Paul lists? Sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. Okay, sanctified, that involves lots of areas of life, every area of life. What's the very first area Paul addresses? Sexual immorality. Ephesians, there must not be even a hint of. Do you think the Holy Spirit sees this as a vulnerability for us? What happens when life goes completely haywire? Romans 1:24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts, it could have been so many things, to sexual impurity. When your life goes crazy and you're just off living your own life, this is where you're going to end up. This is our battle. This is the first place. If we're going to get to the end of the road, we're going to be strong men who are responsible and all those things we talked about. If we're going to get to that road, then where you've got to get, man, is you've got to win this one. We're not fighting this one because this is the battle. We're fighting this one because this is the obstacle. This is the first barricade. We got to get through this and win this one. If men are going to be strong, if the church is going to be strong, what's one battle we have to win? I already gave the answer, so we saved some time. Okay. So this is what I want you to understand from this first session. You are called to be strong. I don't know how far away that seems from you. It might seem a million miles away, and that's fine. That's great. You know, in this crazy world, if you're not having problems, there's something wrong with you. If you're not struggling with sexual stuff, you're either really, really blessed, and there are some people. There are people that don't struggle with this. There are people that genuinely don't struggle with this, but there are not very many. And most of the men you sit with in church are struggling. And they should be. They should be. Why wouldn't they be? Look at the world we're living in. And here's the deal. We're all struggling, but here's the battleground. Here's the rules of the game we have that we're trying to play. You're struggling, but you can't admit you're struggling.
And you have to act like it's not really happening and you can't tell anybody you're struggling, so you have to struggle alone. So struggle alone and don't ever let it show. What are your chances of winning then? Zero. And that's the part we are going to change.